The Laughter Permitted podcast is brought to you by Ally. Do it right.
What's up, party people? Welcome to Laughter Permitted. I'm Julie Foudy.
I'm Lynn Ozawi.
All right. Shall we set the scene a little bit, Lynn, for this episode? Because
sure.
The basketball Final Four happened recently, as we all know, if you haven't heard. The women's Final Four made ratings herstory. Not history, herstory. The final averaged 18.9 million viewers and peaked at 24 million. Lynn, you were there in Cleveland.
I was.
Do tell.
Yeah, I was at the game, saw the Final Four on Friday, championship on Sunday. And what was so special for me is that I went with a former high school basketball teammate of mine and dear friend of mine, Christina, and her daughter, Sarah, who is a high school hooper herself. The atmosphere was electric.
I wanted to go. I wanted to see it all, too. I was plorking while calling the She Believes Cup, and the U.S. Women's National Team had a game in Atlanta, which drew 50,000, by the way.
Incredible.
The most for any non-World Cup, non-Olympic game in the United States. And then a few days later, the U.S. Women's National Team also played, and I called that game, and it was a sold-out 20,000 that was totally rocking, and they won on penalty kicks. So a very cool weekend for women's sports.
Yeah, to say the least. And I think we wanted to savor the moment with basketball in particular. So we invited two of our ESPN colleagues to join our Laughter Permitted party.
Our guests are ESPN analyst Andrea Carter and ESPN anchor Elle Duncan, both of whom had front row seats to it all. They did the pregame, halftime, postgame shows at the Final Four, and actually all of March Madness. So we talk the ratings, of course, Caitlin Clark, of course, Dawn Staley. We geek out on some hoops. So get comfortable listening. It's Andrea and Elle. Hey there, Dope Village. Lynn and I have been involved in women's sports our entire lives. And truly, we've never been more excited for what's to come in this women's sports space. And one big reason, Ally. Ally has made a commitment to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And that means more money going to women's sports and more visibility for what these incredible athletes are accomplishing. Ally is on a mission to change the game for women's sports.
So here at Laughter Permitted, we're going to keep telling the stories of trailblazing women. And every time you listen in, you are part of that change. To learn more about Ally, go to ally.com.
Kick back, relax, and unwind. Let's have a good time finding the joy in life. We're smiling so bright, talking and laughing combined. Feeling alright, get comfortable listening. It's Laughter Permitted.
You guys rock! Have you even slept? Have you had a chance to recover yet? That was a lot. Woo! You guys are awesome. Thank you for doing this.
Oh, heck yeah.
All right. The first thing we always do is we set the scene. So both of you, tell us where you're at, what you're doing, all those things.
Well, I'm in, Dre's obviously somewhere cool. I'm in my office closet at work.
I'm in my loft. This is just where I live.
I love your art in the back there, Dre.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. About the present moment.
Here and now. Inhale, exhale.
I'm a big meditation person, and my friend actually created this. It lights up. It's pretty cool, actually. It kind of lights up. It's got a little light.
Little LED action.
Yeah, but it's about meditating is all about taking a deep breath. So inhale, hold, exhale. And so I found myself doing that a lot at the Final Four, which was cool just to really take it in. I sit next to Elle and she's just wonderful. So I inhale, exhale to be by the best and cover the best and work with the best. But yeah, I have this at home just to remind myself wherever I am, even if it's here, just to be present.
Speaking of inhaling, exhaling, did you guys notice that when Iowa would take the floor, the starting five would do a huddle and they all took a deep breath together?
Mm. That's awesome.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, that's so cool.
That's super cool. Yeah. I'm like a super neurotic, like type A, mind constantly, like Dre knows, I rival so much her ability to sort of just like be in the moment, take a deep breath, sit still, soak it in, slow down. Even when like everything's frenetic around Dre, she's always very consistently like this. And I so admire that, because if I am like a product of my environment, if it's frenetic, mm-hmm. so am I. So all this like breathe in and breathe yeah. out, you know, I've needed it a couple times this year actually, and it's helped, but it's like, it's like torture for me to sit still and breathe. I'm like, what? I could be doing this.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Al. Yeah, I'm saying that I am not like that at all.
Very familiar to the dynamic of Julie and me.
Yeah. Len is always wanting to inhale and exhale. I'm like, no time for that. Let's go.
There's not time. We got to go.
We got to move. All right, first thing we're going to start with is the obvious, and hell yes, the ratings. Oh my gosh. Okay, so 18.9 million average, peaked at what, 24 for the women. And then, of course,
the championship game.
The championship game on Sunday. That was the Sunday game. And then we find out that, you know, that was over, FYI, 4 million from the men. So it outdrew the men's as well. And no one is surprised, of course, but still, it's so damn nice that it finally took hold. My question outside of Caitlin Clark's effect and the Caitlin Clark effect is, why now, do you think? Why this explosion?
Well, I think, you know, the talent level is ridiculous. The visibility level matches the talent. I think that's been the thing, you know, in women's basketball, there's always been talent. I mean, there have been players all along that are extremely talented. But I think the combination of having a singular player do things that we haven't seen done before, truly, like in Caitlin Clark and what she's been able to do, having her combined with the visibility, combined with talent around the nation that could challenge Caitlin as a team. Like, there's not a singular force that can match what Caitlin does offensively, but like when you have a team like South Carolina, or you have a team like UConn, or you have teams like Juju, like there are superstars and then they have complementary pieces. So I think the talent level across the board, coupled with the superstardom of Caitlin, coupled with the visibility, coupled with the platform, you know, like this season, we had more 30-minute shows in between games than I think ever. Like 30-minute shows before each game to hype it up, to get the vibe going. There were just so many opportunities to have shows and to really talk about these players. And so I just think the energy all around, but talent matched with visibility, matched with platform, matched with performance. Like if I had to put the combination together, it'd be those four things that just blew it out of the water. And the performance was the best, because every time people tuned in to one round, the players performed and it made those people lock in for the second round. And it's
totally.
That's why we got bigger and bigger mm-hmm. and bigger as the tournament went on.
Yeah, I mean, echoing everything that Drea said, and I'll add this as well, you know, this is a long time coming. Like this is, as you know, Julie, you've been an OG in this game for a long time. Like if you plant a tree right now, you're not going to bear any fruit for many, 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 many years. And the increased visibility has definitely helped. But I also think too, like just in terms of what we do in the product, like for many, many years, and I think we heard Sue Bird sort of talk about this offseason as well. Like for many years, the women's product was like a stepping stone, like your greenest producers, your greenest people in the building, your greenest researchers, your greenest talent. Yeah. It's like everybody that was looking for their first opportunity could just like find their way on the women's side, because like it wasn't getting that much attention anyway. And that's where people came to work or to learn, you know, it was like the training wheels. And I think like, it doesn't hurt, you know, that like you've got Andrea Carter, like, doing your women's basketball coverage when she's a superstar, and she's doing men's game day. She's doing NBA. She's doing freaking softball. Like, she's a star. So when she, someone like her, Chennai, Carol, like when someone like them can solidify the product and validate the product by being involved in it, I think it just elevates it as well. It's like, okay, we're going to put the best of everything at this, right, as opposed to making them work with peanuts and giving them less and expecting them to do more. So I think, you know, even in just the 3 years I've been in this space, I've seen them continue to level up every year, production value, the talent that they use, the shows, like all of those things go into it. And we were able to capitalize on a moment that did have someone transformative. But like, whenever someone talks about the Caitlin Clark effect, and it is real, it is so real. And we're about to see it in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. Let's not sneeze at 7 million people watching South Carolina and NC State, a total blowout with what the media would like for you to believe, no net household names. That did 7 million. That would have blown, that still blows out most natties that we've had, right? So like, let's not act like, okay, 24 million is amazing, but let's not sneeze it. The numbers have been across the board. She didn't participate in every single game, and the tournament's up like 130% as a tournament.
Yeah, in whole, not just the Iowa games, not just the Final
All
Four.
Of it.
Yeah, great point, great point.
Well, Elle, I have to throw some love back at you, because you really crushed as the host of College Game Day. I think that that took a certain personality in that position. And I'm just thinking back to when you were at, it was LSU, South Carolina, and you're going down the crowd of students with the umbrella. And I'm like, this is Elle. This is, you know, someone is setting the stage. So I wanted to reflect that back to you as much as you're giving credit to all of your teammates, and it is a rock star team. I do want to dive. You're welcome. I do want to dive into some Caitlin Clark. And
Elle's the Caitlin Clark of hosts, so that was
there.
Just,
we
like,
go.
Yeah, you're so sweet. Whatever. What Lane isn't telling you is
she can hit a logo three people.
Well, listen. It peaked at me coming down with the parasol with the third line, because then after that I murdered a king cake and now I cannot show my face in Baton Rouge ever again. So
oh no,
it's a low point, but it's fine.
Banned
forever.
So with Caitlin Clark, the low hanging fruit to talk about her, which everyone is talking about, I really believe that casual sports fans, all of us who are deep into this as covering it, would say logo threes, her passing. But the two of you having a front row seat to this journey all year long, what is something about Caitlin, her game, maybe her personality, that you think is underappreciated, that people aren't talking about?
For me, one thing that really stood out to me, and this was like last year when we covered the Final Four, Caitlin recalling moments in the game, you know, like a moment where she passed to her teammate, and her teammate had missed two shots before that and then made the third one, or a moment where she remembers coming off a pick and roll, and like her basketball IQ, her knowledge of the game. It was almost at times, I think it was Rebecca and I, we were talking about it, and we were like, it's almost like she has a photographic memory, which a lot of like great players, the way they remember moments in the game or actions in the game or pivotal moments, like her basketball IQ is off the charts. And it comes with, we've talked about her vision for her passing, but the way that she sees the court, the way she processes information, the way she holds on to it, learns from it, applies it in the next game. It's like, it's almost like her brain's like a computer.
Interesting.
As far as executing on the court goes, she has a really, really, really high basketball IQ. Like everything's calculated and everything's intentional. Like she doesn't just make a move for no reason. She doesn't just make a move in a response. She's making a move in a calculated way. I think the hard part, you rarely find players that can make her have to react. There are some that we saw in the tournament. That's why we praised the individual defensive performances that were on Caitlin that were great towards the end, because it's so hard to do. But almost every time in most matchups, Caitlin is very calculated, and it's because of her basketball IQ. So I think just her understanding of the game and hearing her talk about basketball, like she'd be a great analyst whenever she wants to be done playing, because her basketball IQ is next level.
Now I know why I wasn't a great soccer player. I can't remember shit. I couldn't remember the last game. I'd be like, wait, who do we play again? What was the score?
Yeah.
When you were saying that, I was like, oh my God, that was my problem.
Yeah. She could probably tell you like, oh, I remember in West Virginia when I came across half court and they double teamed me and I kicked to, like, she could probably I wouldn't put it past Caitlin to be like, oh yeah, that happened in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she, I would, going off the court, great answer, Dre. That was fantastic. I would just, going off the court, I would say that, like, despite the circus atmosphere, like, sort of her, like, relatability, like, she is one of those people that, like, if you see her in a tunnel and there's no cameras around, like, to your point of remember, she'll remember you, she'll say hello. Like, she really is, like, a girl who loves her brothers and her family and, like, you know, is 22. Like, she's very 22, you know? You see it when she's, like, fangirling after meeting Maya Moore. You see it with, you know, at shoot-arounds and stuff with her team when, like, Taylor Swift comes on. Like, I don't know. She's so poised and very media-trained, and she knows what she's doing. And but I also think that, like, when you get to see her sort of without the atmosphere around her, she's just very, like, her. I love her brothers. They're so relatable. We were there for game day, that last regular season game, when she was passing Pete Maravich, and it was halftime. She had just hit those free throws that had her officially get the record. I can't even remember what the score was at the time. As you can see, I'm no Caitlin Clark. I don't remember shit either. But I saw her brother. I saw her brother in the tunnel, and I was like, oh, it's kind of anticlimactic. I wanted her to get it with, like, a logo through. He was like, honestly, she's going to be so pissed right now because Cody McMahon is really tearing up the paint, and, like, she is not going to be happy. They got to shore that up. I was like, yeah, they do. But also, your sister just broke Pistol Pete's record. Like, that's awesome. And he was like, I know, but, man, like, if they're going to win this game, I was like, they really don't care. Like, they're so unfazed by some of these records that it's like, I just want to win. She really, yeah, really wants to win. And the whole family is like that. They're ultra competitive. It's cool.
So, great segue, Elle, because when I was in Cleveland for the Final Four, and thank
I saw
goodness,
you were sitting right in front of our stage.
Yeah, I was right there. Mm-hmm. I tried to give you some love, and I hope I did it during rehearsals, because I yelled at you guys how amazing all of you looked, and I was like, oh, they might be on air right now. But you're such pros, it didn't faze you. When I came back home, thank goodness YouTube TV DVR'd everything, including Bird and Taurasi, and they showed a clip of Breanna Stewart being asked if Caitlin could be considered a GOAT if she doesn't win. And it was, Breanna was in Cleveland for the USA basketball practices. And then they flipped it back to the set where Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, and Nneka Nwumike were on the set, and they debated it. And the resounding response was no, she couldn't be considered a GOAT unless she wins. So I thought I'd throw that out there for a little debate for us to chew on.
I'm gonna let you start with this one, Dre.
Well, I was asked this question a lot, and I did. I think one player can lead their team to a championship. So I was on the team that, like, she has to get one to be considered. Like, if anyone's gonna consider her the GOAT, she's at least got to have one championship. Just because that's how we do things in basketball. Like, you got to have a championship. But, you know, the fact that, you know, there were some people that were like, for her to be in the conversation, she's got to have a championship. And then my counter to that was, if we're talking about her, she's already in the conversation. So she is in the conversation as one of the GOATs. So, you know, and Dawn Staley kind of validated everything when she said, you know, Caitlin is one of the GOATs of our game. So yeah. I don't think she could be considered the GOAT, but she's in the conversation.
Maybe not the, but a.
Yeah, like, she's one of the GOATs. She's not the GOAT. You need a championship to be considered the GOAT. So I don't think anybody's going to be like, Caitlin Clark's the GOAT. But everyone is now at this point like, Caitlin Clark's one of the GOATs. Like, she's in the conversation because of everything she was able to do.
Couldn't you also argue that bringing a team in a program like Iowa to the level she brought them to almost single-handedly, sure, she had a supporting cast that did very well, as we saw, but like, that's hard in itself. I mean, absolutely hard to win, like Breanna Stewart did, four titles while she was in college, but she's transformed that Iowa program in a way, this as one player, that there's no way without her they have a chance of making the runs they make, clearly. But I mean, that to me is GOAT status in itself.
I think that, like, Dre knows, that's why I had her take it first. Like, we did on our pregame show, we did the Mount Rushmore, because I can't stand GOAT conversations. I really don't like them. Only because by nature, first of all, they're completely objective or subjective. Second of all, by nature, you minimize somebody else's accomplishments when you make your argument for your GOAT. And I think that's crap. Like if you ask, we have this debate about Michael Jordan versus LeBron, but if you ask my 75-year-old father-in-law, he says it's Kareem because that's who it was in his generation. And like he invented the sky, like literally they created rules to work around his talent. That doesn't make you a GOAT, right? He was the points leader until LeBron. Like, I think doing Mount Rushmores or saying things like, hey, we can all acknowledge that she is the most prolific scorer of our generation. Like she's the best shooter, the same way that we sort of put qualifiers on Steph. But can I just throw this into the ring? I'm a little perturbed right now by like this idea or this narrative that's being pushed that like all these old bitter biddies in the WNBA crapping on Caitlin Clark. They need to be thanking her. Like, first of all, Stewie won 4 championships, okay? So yes, of course, if you ask her, can you be a GOAT without winning one? She's probably, based on her own lived experience, going to say no. And when Diana says things like, because she was asked, how does her game translate at the next level? When she says things like, she's in for a rude awakening. Like you can be a superhero against 18-year-olds, but wait till you come to, that's because she is someone who was a prolific player in college and then went to the next level and has been in the W for how many years? Like it's only in women's sports when we are critical of someone without fawning over them in the same sentence and same breath that we are somehow anti-women, anti-catty. Men are allowed to be critical and subject, like they're allowed to talk about each other, to level criticisms, or even just to give advice. They're allowed to say, wait till you come to the league, Rook, we're gonna bust your ass. They're allowed to do that without wondering if they're ruining the brotherhood and the fraternity. Women aren't allowed to do that. We can all say that she is a transformative player and be so gracious for everything that she does for the game and also say, and wait till you come to the league where I'm gonna bust your ass. And honestly, Caitlin Clark is an ultimate competitor. You think she wants people? She didn't get to who she is by people throwing flowers at her feet all the time. Like this idea we can't be both things is really bothering me. These WNBA women are not being bitter Betties, but they're not being bitter Betties. They're just being asked to be honest. And if they don't in the same breath sandwich a compliment with a criticism with a compliment, somehow they're catty. And I'm really tired of it being from people who are new to this, okay?
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think that at all. I was curious to hear what they had to say. I have not won national championships. So just kind of considering what's the definition of greatness as opposed to them belittling Caitlin in any way.
They're not. It's like you're not allowed to say anything critical or you need to be thankful for what she's doing for you. You need to be. And the thing is, the biggest criticism, the people that are sort of caping for Caitlin and saying, you know, that she's received more hate. I've been around this space. Like, I don't see hate at all, Dre. Do you? Is that what you're gathering when you see Caitlin Clark places? Because I'm not getting any heat. I'm hearing these players talk very well about her. But if you don't say it in the same breath that you say something critical, all of a sudden you're anti-woman and you're not being like, you're not being helpful. It's like, you're not a girl's girl. And I just think that's horseshit. I'm sorry. Like, they're allowed to be. Diana Taurasi is one of the greatest of all time. She's allowed to give her opinion. And frankly, I talked to Brittany Griner about this yesterday. And she's like, I'm not doing Caitlin Clark any good. Yeah, and I'm not doing her any services by going, thank you so much for coming. I'm going to defend you differently. She's like, of course, I'm going to give it to her just like I give it to anybody else, because that's my job. Like, I'm the steely vet and I'm going to give it to you. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we have to embrace that more as opposed to just constantly adoration, adulation, flowers. If you don't give flowers constantly, then you're somehow in the wrong. And that's not fair.
We used to commentating right after I retired, after we won 99 World Cup, and you're commentating and you're maybe criticizing some of the players on, you know, not winning a World Cup, and they're like, oh, you just don't want them to win, you're bitter that, and I'm like, and then when they won in 15, it's like, are you guys even happy that they won? Like we wouldn't celebrate that because that took some of our shine off. I'm like, what is wrong with that narrative? Like, come on, people. So I get that, and I think you're absolutely right, Elle, in that sense.
The best compliment you can give someone with their greatness is by challenging them in every way. Like, that's the best compliment you can get. If someone's like, I'm going to go my hardest against them, that's the best compliment you could have. Like, there's nothing better than that, in my opinion. Like, Like Caitlin's such a competitor. She's so competitive. She's so fiery. Like Caitlin's going to say the same thing about players coming in the league when she's a veteran in the league, and it grows the game. We're going to see better basketball from people challenging Caitlin and making her even better than she already is.
And I guarantee you she gets it.
Of course she does.
Hey there, Dope Village. As y'all know, Ally has backed Laughter Permitted since day one of our podcast as our financial ally. And honestly, Lynn, I might just tattoo Ally on my forehead. And Ally is currently on a mission to change the game for women's sports.
And get this, along with being sponsors of the National Women's Soccer League, Atlantic Coast Conference, United States Golf Association, and the Las Vegas Aces, Ally has committed to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And you, my friends, can be part of the change by watching your favorite athletes crush it on TV, by going to women's sporting events in person, by, I don't know, maybe listening to every single episode of this amazing podcast on Trailblazing Women. Because every time you show up for women's sports, you are helping move the game forward. You can learn more about Ally by visiting ally.com. Here's something that has no debate around it. Dawn Staley, that woman is an absolute gift. And I'm not even talking about her basketball. And we know her basketball prowess is off the charts. I just saw a stat that South Carolina is, what, 109-3 over the last three seasons. They've lost three games. I'm like, come on. But it's everything else that she brings to this game and to women's sports, and her ability to relate on so many levels. And I'm just interested in, you guys have spent a lot of time with her and watching her grow and evolve over the years, and your thoughts on Dawn.
Coach Staley's the best. Like, she's so real. She's so authentic. She is so just genuine. Like, when you think about, you know, being completely yourself in every moment and not missing, she never misses, and she's just herself. And I think that for me, it's the authenticity that really stands out to me. I remember this will forever like sit with me. Coach Staley was asked by like a local reporter from my hometown, like years ago, to give a quote on me as an analyst. And the one thing that she called me in her quote was uniquely organic. And I think that it gave me, her saying that gave me the freedom to just be myself and feel confident in that. And when I imagine her as a coach for her players, the way she allows them to be themselves and brings out the best in who they are while also pushing them right to reach their full potential. But for me, it's her realness, like how real Coach Staley is. You know, it opens the door. You know, there's like the quote that's like, as we shine, we give others the permission to do so. Coach Staley does that. As she achieves greatness by just being herself, she allows her players and everyone around her to see that you can be great just by being yourself. And for me, like everything she does is genuine. Everything she does is authentic. And that will always, always resonate with me.
I love that.
You said it, Dre. She's so poised. By the way, Dre, you won the, was it the Dawn Staley Media Award, Media Award of Excellence?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I have it. Yep.
Yep. Big deal.
It was a big deal to me.
Congrats.
It is a big deal. It's a really big deal.
Pointed to it
she's
right
the standard of excellence.
Over her shoulder.
Right?
Love it.
She's the standard of excellence. And so whatever it is, what she's putting her stamp on means that it's excellent. I would just say, to echo everything that Drea said, and then just to add that, like, she handles everything with such grace. Like, I keep thinking about, you know, that really disingenuous question that was asked of her from OutKick and about transgender athletes. And what I love about Dawn is, like, in her uniquely Dawn way, she was like, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call out, because I know what you're trying to do.
Yep.
I see what you're trying to do. I'm going to call that out, and I'm still going to answer. I'm not going to be combative. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to try and denigrate you. What she could have done, she could have been like, and where were you on Thursday for the media availability for this, right? You haven't come to a single women's basketball game. I personally would have said, and I'm sorry, which specific transgender athlete are you most concerned with that's permeating basketball? Can you name the one that you're concerned with? But instead, she just authentically answered that. And I think she answered it with the kind of grace that she sort of is accustomed to. Like, she doesn't, Drea said it, she doesn't miss. And that's just because she's comfortable being herself and comfortable calling things out how she sees it. I think about Dawn 2 years ago on our ESPN set, like, after they'd won the national championship over UConn. And you remember this, Dre? Like, she's literally like, and I thank you, ESPN, for everything y'all done. But, you know, she like took the moment to like call out other media rights broadcasters and say, like, this is how we grow the sport. Like, she is always in it for something bigger than herself. And she uses every opportunity that she can to grow the sport that she loves and to help the girls that she pours into. And she's just a really special person. She's so special.
She paused, like, before the answer with the transgender question that was asked to her. She paused for a second. Like, she sat and she put thought into it. And then she answered, you know, like, she's never rushed. She's always on her time, which I think is important. And then the moment after when they won and she took a moment to acknowledge Caitlin, and, you know, like, everything is just, she's very considerate, she's very thoughtful when she has every reason to be dismissive of anything. She could be dismissive and we probably wouldn't give her any slack for it because she's Dawn Staley, and she never is. She's Coach Staley answered my questions when I was the online reporter for their games so long ago. And she answered them with the same amount of thought that she answers her questions now. Like, she's always been that way.
And you see her.
She was there 2 hours, right? Right, Dre? She was there 2 hours after the game ended, the Natty, meeting with every local reporter, every blog writer, just like, and she could have just left it at ESPN and been like, you've got the tape. But she met with every single person that wanted to talk to her.
Class. I love how, too, with, like, you can see the relationship with her players when Aaliyah's trying to interview her, Aaliyah Boston, and she's like, Aaliyah, look at you. You're doing amazing. She's like, Coach, it's not about me. It's about you. And she kept trying to bring it back to Aaliyah. She's like, not about me. It's about you. As you're in the middle of this tournament and y'all are covering it and you're watching the numbers escalate and it snowball, knowing history was being made, what was that like for all of you?
Honestly, the cool thing, sometimes the burden of being a woman in this space is that you do feel beholden to many things. Like, men can go and just try and do a good job at their job, and like, that's the goal, is to shine and do a great job at their job. For women, it's like, how do we also shine? Because we're all, of course, here for that. But also, how do we shine a light on the product? How do we grow it? We feel beholden to the girls on the court, more so, if not as much as we feel beholden to each other. But I'll say this, we all work really hard. Like, we all, like, Drea works all the time. This baby's never home. It's why she has a beloved pet snake, because, like, he doesn't need to eat for like a month at a time. Shout out to Nothing. But, like, we work a lot, you know, I spend time for my kids to do this. I want to do this and I love doing this, and no one's going to feel sorry for you when they shouldn't. But it is nice sometimes when people recognize the hard work that goes into this. Like, hundreds of people work on these shows. We didn't, like, by accident have great content. You know, these tapes are being specifically cut for Drea and for Chinee. Mm-hmm. Our producer is specifically yelling at, you know, the game broadcast and whatnot, just to give us a little extra time so that we can have those phone. Like, these are all very intentional things that we're working on and that we're doing so that we can give you the best absolute studio show that's out there. And so we do a lot of great work and it doesn't always get recognized. So for me, it was just great to, like, we work really, really hard, especially right now. Nobody's sleeping. Everybody's cranky and everybody's giving it their all. And so it's nice when, like, it gets acknowledged publicly. You know, we all have egos too. They're not big. I don't work with anyone that has a monster ego, which is really nice for me, but we have them. Like, we want to do great work too and shine. So that's been nice, is that, of course, the product, as Drea said, spoke for itself. And, like, the women, like, delivered when they needed to on the biggest stage. But for us personally in the studio, it was just really nice that, like, I keep saying that to people. I'm like, have you not seen Drea and Chinee on everything? They're great. Like, of course they're great. How are you surprised by any of this? They're fantastic. So it's been good for that.
Yeah, I think just to, like, put a bow on it, as we talked about, like, the players and their performances and those things and how it's all built on past players that didn't have the visibility or maybe didn't have as many opportunities. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing all this talent. with the platform, with the opportunities, with the visibility, and their performances were incredible. It's the same thing on our side. Like, there have been women's basketball analysts that didn't have, like Elle said, people to cut their tape or people to put spotters and arrows and black out everything and keep certain things color. Like, they didn't have access to those kind of things to highlight the game that they were just as passionate about as I am. But I have more resources. We have more resources. We have more people behind us to make our performance better and to help us shine. And so I think the same thing, like, the players were able to be their absolute best with a ton of support on the foundation that was built from players before them. Same thing on our side. We were able to be our best with a ton of support with the foundation of sports broadcasters and women that came before us. And so it was really like two special spaces, the on the court, the performance, and the TV part of it,
yeah,
that were just maxed out, and they met. Like, it wasn't like we had great shows and the players didn't deliver, or the players delivered and we didn't have film to break it down, right? Like, both spaces maxed out. And I think that's the really special part of it. Like, I keep telling people, like, it just felt really special to feel like we were doing the players justice. And I think that, like, I know, talking amongst us, like, we didn't want to let the teams down. We didn't want to let the players down. Like, they were playing so well and they were so amazing out there. We had to be great, and we had the resources to do so. You know, just like them, like, when eyes were on them, I felt the same way. Like, eyes are on us. We can't let them down. We can't let the fans down. We can't let the players down. And I think the players felt the same way, and both spaces were able to deliver and just blow it up. So I think it was
great. It was magic, the way the storylines all kind of fell into place as this went on. I just kept going, oh my gosh, this gift. But you all returned that gift by what you did, because beyond being so good on TV, you all just looked like you were having so much fun. And the thing you brought was just this joy to the set. So thank you for all you did.
What is your overall takeaway just from watching the Final Four? You are at your DNA level a soccer person.
Well, I was absolutely glued to it, which was so much fun. And the kids were glued to it, which was so much fun as well to see. I mean, beyond just all the good storylines and so much great basketball, I kept thinking, you know, it was only 3 years ago that Sedona Prince put out that video showing the inequities of the weight rooms. And, like, literally the gals had like three dumbbells and the men's weight room is gigantic and gorgeous and all modern. Do you remember that video?
Yes, I remember it. Yeah, it's hard to forget.
It's like so crazy how quickly things have changed and how quickly they elevate. So that's the thing I kept thinking about is Karen Nortman, founder of Angel City, one of the co-founders, sent a quote saying, you know, Ernest Hemingway once said, "It happens gradually and then suddenly." And I was like, yep, because that was fast. Takes a long time and you're like, when is this going to happen? And when you see it happen in real time and you feel it, it's visceral. It's like, hell yes.
You used the word elevate. And looking back at this season, the Final Four in particular, you have to give Caitlin Clark so many props for what she did to elevate this game. And when I think of Caitlin Clark, the word that I think of is transcend. She transcended this year, and I actually looked up the definition. And the definition of transcend is to rise above or go beyond the limits of. My fandom of Caitlin will definitely continue and can't wait to cheer her on in the WNBA. So moving on to questions permitted, I actually want to stay on this theme, and it is a topic we've talked about before in questions permitted that I think is valuable to revisit. This question comes from Liz. And she says, as a relatively casual fan with only one women's pro sport team in my city, Grand Rapids Rise Volleyball, shout out, what is the biggest thing I can be doing to support women's sports right now? Thanks for always making my Wednesday great by filling it with amazing women sports mentors. Thanks for all you do, Liz.
So the thing I think about is, you know, not everyone has, you know, to Liz's point, the opportunity to go to a game because maybe they don't even have that in their area. But you can, depending on what you do work-wise, you can influence how we're supporting it. So I'm thinking brands, I'm thinking partners, I'm thinking broadcasters, I'm thinking creative people, I'm thinking marketing people, I'm thinking you could open a women's sports bar, as we see is happening in every city.
Go to one when you travel least, and have something to
a
eat.
Have a drink there. But I mean, what you're finding is that you have these disruptors in these different companies and at different levels who, whether it's your host on SportsCenter and able to disrupt in a way saying, why aren't we covering more women's sports here? Or your CMO of a company, why aren't we investing more in women's sports?
Is there a certain company you're speaking of?
That would be Ally, as we know, who is one of the OGs in this space.
Yeah, shout out to
Andrea. For being a disruptor. Yeah, Andrea Brimmer.
And her team.
I think as much as you can in a capacity to be a disruptor in a good way, I say that in a good way, good trouble, of what are we doing to support? What are we doing to fund? What are we doing to put money behind this and put it on a better platform, put it at a better time, put it in a better position to be successful? And there's so many of us out there working tangentially to women's sports. Maybe you're not going to games or you maybe can't watch it because of whatever reason, but like, what are we doing to actually move that needle and get in there and ask those questions and push it? Because until we start asking and until we stop pushing, which is what has been happening, and we're seeing the needle move and it's moving quickly.
Well, I think too, you're focusing on some incredibly important macro points. And I was considering as well at a really micro level, what someone like Liz could do. And one of the things is we bring this up on the pod as far as sharing an episode of Laughter Permitted. Something as simple as that, or sharing an episode or subscribing to the women's game mm-hmm. that Sam Mewis is now hosting. Because literally for us, I'm going to use literally one more time, literally every download counts, every listen counts for us. And then our sponsors are able to show based on some metrics that they are getting a bang for their buck. So something as simple as that. And then another idea I'd share is to jump on a bandwagon. So I can speak for myself. I completely jumped on the Iowa bandwagon. Prior to Caitlin Clark, did not follow Iowa basketball. And what's really cool is what happened is that I became a fan of the whole team, like a huge fan mm-hmm. of Sydney Falter, Kate Martin, Gabby Marshall. Gabby Marshall, she's graduating and she's going to the University of North Carolina for occupational therapy. Like, I want to root her on in grad school. That's how invested I became in Iowa. So if you hop on the bandwagon of a team, maybe it's a WNBA team, maybe it's an NWSL team, and then you travel to a game or even just watch the games, all of these things add up because it does feel like we're in this huge movement right now. And all of us, in a way, want to contribute. So I would just say, don't think that anything is too small.
Get on the train, party people, before you miss it. All right. Thank you to our sponsor, Ally, as we were just saying. Thank you to Kate Diaz for our theme music. Thank you, of course, to all y'all in our dope village, because our village is dope. We would greatly appreciate you, as Lynn was saying, rating, subscribing to the pod, and even leaving comments on that Apple Podcast page, because Lynn will take a screenshot of it and send it to me, and we get a heart it, love it, and all those things. Because it does matter, as Lynn was saying, in terms of the metric of us highlighting awesome women. And finally, as always, kids, remember, sing it with us.
Laughter permitted.
She can hit a logo, three people.